From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into Current Sports. It is Thursday, July 30th, 2015. Folks, we have some breaking news concerning the Detroit Tigers. David Price is no longer a Detroit Tiger. That is right, folks. This is breaking news coming through the Twitter wire and just about everywhere I look right now. Everyone's talking about it. It's a 3-for-1 deal, and Price will be sent to the Toronto Blue Jays for 3 players. We'll let you know who those 3 players are, and we want to get your reaction on this. Again, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll break down the trade and talk about the implications for the Detroit Tigers selling as the season moves along right before the trade deadline. Also, Big Ten Media Days start this weekend. We'll give you our thoughts on what to look forward to throughout this weekend in Chicago. And we've got a pretty cool story being brought to you guys from Current State's own Scott Pohl and what is being called the Andrew Singler Memorial Cup that is being played this weekend. Find out what that is in just a sec. And we'll even recap James Moore's Swap Youth Football minicamp that took place not too long ago as well. All of that and so much more. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this July 30th. All right, folks, we have breaking news from the Detroit Tigers. David Price has been traded to the Toronto Blue Jays for pitching prospect Daniel Norris. Also involved in that trade is Matt Boyd and Jario Laborte. Those are the 3 that will be now becoming Detroit Tigers as David Price has now been dealt to the Toronto Blue Jays. Of course, we'll break down that trade more. Again, the news is just coming in. This is breaking news as of about 10 minutes ago. So we'll break down this trade and give you more details on it in just a sec. Keep it locked right here. All right, folks, and concerning the Tigers and what they're doing on the field, trailing 1-0 and facing the prospect of a Chris Archer perfect game, the Detroit Tigers scored 2 unearned runs in the 7th after Ray's shortstop Asdrubal Cabrera booted what appeared to be a sure double play ball with 1 out in the inning. J.D. Martinez and Nick Castellanos followed with an RBI single to put Detroit up 2-1, which would be the final as the Tigers snapped a 3-game losing streak. Justin Verlander allowed 1 run on 4 hits while striking out 10 in 8 innings to earn his first win of the season. Detroit heads to Baltimore for a 4-game series against the Orioles beginning at 7:05 p.m. tonight at Camden Yards. Alfredo Simon will make his first appearance against his former team. The Texas Rangers agreed to trade on a trade Wednesday night with the Philadelphia Phillies for left-handed ace Cole Hamels. The Rangers will also get left-handed reliever Jake Diekman in the deal in return for left-hander Matt Harrison and 5 prospects. The Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame is proud to announce the inductees for the class of 2015 in honor of their 40th year. 9 individuals and 3 teams have been selected to be enshrined at the annual induction ceremony, which begins tonight at 6:30 p.m. at the Lansing Center. Isaac and I will be in the house for that. Names like Chuck Block, Jesse Gallegos, Fritz Kellerman, Scott Kemp, Andy and Nick Simmons, Stephanie Smiley, Kim Spalsbury, Jamie Wesley, the 1960 Haslett football team, the 1977 DeWitt softball team, and 1979 Lansing Eastern boys golf team highlight some of the inductees. All right, we finally made it. The unofficial start of the college football year is now here with Big Ten Media Days. Right now, the 2-day event begins at the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place in Chicago, Illinois. We'll hear all about how each and every coach in the Big Ten loves his team this year and how it was a great offseason. Again, day 1 of the Big Ten Football Media Days is kicking off right now at 1 p.m. With Michigan State's Mark D'Antonio taking the podium. Each coach will be up at the podium for about 15 minutes for an open question and answer period from the media. All of these press conferences will be live on BTN. But hey, you better not tune in right now. You're listening to Current Sports, okay? All right, Southern Methodist University went before the NCAA committee on infractions last month for a hearing related to serious allegations against the men's basketball and golf programs. SMU men's basketball coach and former Detroit Pistons head coach who led them to the NBA championship in 2004, Larry Brown, is facing a lack of control charge. Sources say the SMU men's basketball program is also facing an academic misconduct charge related to coursework by former guard Keith Frazier. New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady's lawsuit against the NFL, in which he wants his four-game suspension overturned, will be heard in New York instead of Minnesota. Brady and the NFL Players Association filed their suit Wednesday in Minnesota, but the NFL already had filed papers Tuesday in New York. How about that? Moments after announcing that Commissioner Roger Goodell upheld the suspension for Brady's involvement in the use of underinflated footballs in the AFC Championship game, that's when the NFL filed those papers to trump that Minnesota move. And last but not least, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says, stay tuned for a regular season game in Africa as Chris Paul and others prepare to play the league's first exhibition on the continent. Now, Silver didn't give an exact time frame, but said Thursday in South Africa that a preseason and ultimately a league game was the aim, with the NBA on a fast track to build its brand in soccer crazy Africa. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in right now, give your thoughts on any of those, including that crazy trade. David Price is now a Toronto Blue Jay. Call in right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527.
Slightly transformed, just a bit of a break from the norm, just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix, and if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past, adjust the bass and let the alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme and put your car on cruise and lay back because it's summertime.
Welcome to the show, folks. Oh, is it not gorgeous outside or what? Oh, my goodness. This is the perfect summer day. I mean, the sun is beaming out. You can feel the humidity coming in a bit. But, hey, who does not want to be outside right now? Oh, my goodness. The only other place I'd rather be right now is, of course, right here behind the mic on Current Sports. Welcome to the show, folks. We got a lot to get to, a lot to talk about. Literally, I was pulling my hair out about, 10, 15 minutes ago, looking at my Twitter feed, as there were a lot of rumors swirling around concerning the Detroit Tigers, and boom, it happened. Actually, the first tweet I saw came from Bob Nightingale of Yahoo Sports, and Bob tweets out that a trade has been finalized. Bob Nightingale of USA Today, Now, Bob tweeted out that a trade has been finalized between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Detroit Tigers. We have been talking about, for the past few weeks now, David Price, pitcher of the Detroit Tigers, being rumored to be, dealt from the Tigers. As the Tigers, we've been surrounding talks with them whether or not they're going to be buyers or sellers with the upcoming trade deadline now just, a little over 24 hours away. Tomorrow at 4 p.m. is the official cutoff line for the trade deadline. But again, we've been debating and talking left and right about whether or not the Tigers are going to be buyers or sellers when the trade deadline, hits its mark. And, of course, David Price, his name has been at the forefront of that discussion. And actually, Dave Dombrowski came out yesterday and said, hey, yeah, we're willing to give up David Price to anyone out there who can make a legitimate deal, one that will catch our eye. And he just came out and said it. And then, boom, the first team that I heard that the Tigers were legitimately going to consider and that a deal was definitely going to be made, which would make this team the clear favorite in the National League was, of course, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Because if you look at it, the Dodgers have a pretty deep farm system, you know, deep pockets. And just looking at it, the acquisition of Price would certainly give them a star-studded starting rotation. I mean, just think of that. David Price, Clayton Kershaw, Zach Greinke. Wow. Easily making them favorites in the National League. But that didn't happen. All of a sudden, as time went on, the Blue Jays came out of nowhere and seemed to just trump the talks. And again, looking at the Dodgers, again, that strong farm system led by a guy who I thought was going to be a part of this trade. I was so ready to come out and say, I think Price is going to the LA Dodgers. Because I'm looking at this 18-year-old lefty, Julio Urias, who just really knows how to pitch. One of the, one of the best prospects out there in the farm system. I thought he was certainly going to be a part of that deal and that Julio was going to be a Detroit Tiger. But that did not happen, folks. David Price is a member of the Toronto Blue Jays now. And looking at, those who are a part of this deal, it's a 3-for-1 deal. The Blue Jays are giving the Tigers Daniel Norris, who is the crown of the Toronto farm system, Matt Boyd, and, as I also stated, Jarryo Laborte. I think I'm saying that name right. I'm probably butchering it, knowing me. So those are the three players that are now members of the Detroit Tigers, and David Price now is a member of the Toronto Blue Jays. And as things sit right now, the Toronto Blue Jays are 7 games in back of the lead in the American League East, and yeah, they're buying, folks. They are trying to do whatever it takes so that they can compete, possibly get a wild card spot. And who knows? I mean, hey, who knows? Maybe they can make a run now and, can possibly chase that number one spot in the American League East, in which the New York Yankees and the Baltimore Orioles sit 1-2 at. So, hey, in the Orioles right now, I mean, they're on the 5-game winning streak. They have been just on a complete roll. So the Toronto Blue Jays still believe that they're trying to make a run at this thing. They want to make the playoffs. They're all in at this point. And who knows? If you make the playoffs, we all know how baseball is. Anything can happen once that happens. So, hey, shocking stuff, though, for me, because I really thought that David Price was going to be a member of the L.A. Dodgers, but now he is a Blue Jay. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, what's your immediate reaction to this story?
Ow, I was surprised because just like you, everything I read, including one anonymous executive reportedly being, just to paraphrase, sure, 100% positive that Price was going to the Dodgers, and now he's on the Blue Jays. I mean, it makes sense now that you break it down, but like you said, Dodgers have deep pockets, a lot of prospects in that farm system, so I thought they'd make a move, but hey, Blue Jays came in with a good offer, and the Blue Jays really can use Price. You look at their action earlier in this week as well, they've got Troy Tulowitzki. They acquired him from the Rockies. They're only 2 games out of the wild card, and their starters are only 23rd in the MLB. Their earned run average is 4.34. So Toronto is right in the playoff mix, and gosh, now they look like a shoe-in for the playoffs, but they're obviously aspiring higher than the average team.
And looking at Toronto, though, let's keep in mind that the Blue Jays, I mean, they haven't made the playoffs, Isaac, in 22 years. You know what I mean? That's a long, long time. That's unbelievably long. I mean, that's crazy. So, yeah, they're all in at this point. They have nothing to lose. Nothing to lose at all. So why not go all in, acquire David Price, strengthen that starting pitching rotation, and make a legitimate run as the season winds down. I think this is a brilliant move. I really think it's a win-win move for both, because if you look at it, the Tigers give up, what, 2 months of not having Price now? They get to free up, that salary cap. Well, that salary, I should say, because if you look at it, I mean, the Tigers, I mean, looking at the cap for the Tigers, I mean, they're like paying all their players a combined, something crazy, like $172 million this year. That's crazy. That is crazy. And anytime you're shelling out that amount of money and you're not getting results, something needs to change. So this is not a surprise to anyone, I don't think. We all know that David Price was not going to be a member of this team once this deadline hit. But I will say I am surprised as to where he went. The Blue Jays, hey, they just made their team better.
The tweet that I saw, which made the most sense to me, said that the Tigers are giving up 2 months of David Price.
For 40% of their starting rotation.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
So, 40% of their future starting rotation. Matt Boyd is a super bright prospect. He's been tearing up Double A this year. And a lot of people are calling him to be called up to Triple A. But in Double A, he's got a 1.1 ERA through as a starter. That's incredible. Jair Laborde having a little bit of a tougher go, but still very bright prospect, only 22 years old. And like you said, the crown of the Blue Jays prospects, Daniel Norris, a lefty starting pitcher, he'll be with the Tigers for some time, and he could be the future of the rotation.
Yeah, Dan, if you look at these three names, Daniel Norris, Matt Boyd, and Jair Laborde, of course, clearly, Daniel Norris is the guy. He is the guy. He is that jewel prospect that they get in this deal. He's the crown of the Toronto farm system. He's a left-handed. He's a left-hander drafted in the second round of 2011. He was a consensus top 30 prospect in all of baseball entering the year. A lot of people thought when looking at this move, if the Blue Jays were going to give up somebody, a lot of people didn't think that the Blue Jays were going to be bold enough to give up Daniel Norris because of the ceiling for him being so high and how good he's been. And a lot of people don't even notice. Of course, the Toronto Blue Jays, you know, when looking at their farm system, hey, right here in Lansing, folks, right here, downtown, Cooley Law School Stadium, the Lansing Lugnuts. They are one of the affiliates, the affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays. We've seen Daniel Norris play and don a Lansing Lugnuts jersey. I've gotten the chance to cover Daniel Norris a few games, or at least shoot highlights of the man. He's a great prospect, great pop prospect. And, looking at, how he has struggled in AAA this year after losing his job in Toronto's rotation early on. But, his walk rate, sits over, four batters per nine innings. But his stuff, he's got a great fastball. When you look at his scouting report, he's got a great fastball and excellent breaking pitches. And a lot of people think that he is ace caliber. A lot of people think that he's a guy who can make that leap easily to the pros and be an immediate impact type of a guy. So the Tigers get Daniel Norris. I think that's great. Matt Boyd, just reading a quick excerpt of Matt Boyd here online. He's 24 years old. He is nearing his prospect graduation, but there's still time for him to break into the major leagues. Again, he does that now with the Tigers. He has an excellent 4.46 strikeout-to-walk ratio across two minor league levels this year. And, so the potential for him is pretty high as well. But, again, I just did not think that Price was going to be dealt to the Blue Jays. It shows that the Blue Jays are all about a win-now mentality. And, again, for a franchise that hasn't made the playoffs, Isaac, in 22 years, why not? What do you have to lose at this point?
Exactly, Al, because the Blue Jays, they've had the players in the past. They had Roy Halladay. They had other great players, and they left. They left. So the Blue Jays acquiring prospects now when they're in a winning position, when they're two games out of the wild card spot, it makes sense to buy in, to get Troy Tulowitzki, to get David Price, to really help that team threaten not only for a wild card position, because now, in my opinion, they've almost got that on lock.
You think so?
I think so. With David Price and Tulowitzki, this becomes one of the better teams in the AL. So it might only be for a season, but they're contenders now in my book, at least for the AL crown.
So right now, again, they sit in the American League East. The Blue Jays are in third place, seven games in back of that top spot in the AL East. The Yankees hold that top spot down. And then you have the Baltimore Orioles, which are they are six games in back of the Yanks. Then you got the Blue Jays sitting at seven games in back. And then you got the Tampa Bay Rays not too far from behind, the Boston Red Sox. Let's not even talk about how bad they have been this season. So, yeah, what do you guys think? Call in right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And, you talk about that wild card race right now in the American League. Also, the Blue Jays are, just two games in back of a top spot or a berth in making a wild card position happen. So, yeah, they can make a legitimate run here. I think this is it's just a win-win on both sides, I do think, Isaac. All right, well, Chicago is booming right now as we speak. Head coach Mark D'Antonio is addressing the media at Big Ten Media Days in the Chi. And, I love Big Ten Media Days because you get to see all these coaches. Well, first off, it's kind of a catch-22 for me because you know how in sports, you get the cliche answers. You know how much I hate the cliche answers, Isaac. Oh, yeah, we had a great offseason. We're going to do this, this, and that. Everything is positive during Big Ten Media Days because it, justifiably so. You haven't even started your season yet, right? But every once in a while, I guarantee you're going to get a coach or a player here and there to say something that may stir up the pot a little bit. What are you looking forward to when looking at Big Ten Media Days this weekend in Chicago?
Well, I'm looking forward to Jim Harbaugh's media attention. For once, I'm actually ready for him to get a little bit of attention, get excited, because this is a time when he does deserve it. And this is not a great team.
You just said this is a time where he does deserve it? Why do you say that?
Because it's Big Ten Media Day. I'm not saying he deserves it more than other coaches.
Okay.
But there's deservedly a lot of hype about him because he's succeeded at every level, but he hasn't done anything yet. Finally, it's Big Ten Media Day. Everybody's getting attention, but it's fair now to focus a little bit more on Harbaugh because, rightfully so, he's won at every level. And at Michigan, he's expected to turn this program around. I'll be interested to see if he does try to temper expectations for this season just because people are going – getting so far ahead of themselves. I'm excited to see that. And you talk about Big Ten Media Day. The first news of, you know, the Big Ten already broke today.
I saw that.
Joey Bosa being suspended for two games. I'm excited to hear Urban Meyer elaborate on that.
Exactly. Yeah, we had that breaking news happen right before we hit the air. And, of course, this Detroit Tigers trade. But, yeah, Ohio State suspending Bosa along with, I believe, three others as well. We'll definitely get to that discussion as well, because we're talking about, you know, you just mentioned Bosa, H-backs Jalen Marshall and Dontre Wilson and wide receiver Corey Smith. Those guys, they're suspended right now. And I'm very curious, and I'm pretty sure we won't hear any statements made at Big Ten Media Days from Urban Meyer about this, but you better believe that the media, and justifiably so, is going to ask what happened here. You know what I mean? So, that news just came literally minutes before Coach D goes on the podium to address everyone concerning Michigan State. And I believe Coach D just wrapped up. He spoke from 1 to 1:15. Right now, Tim Beckman of Illinois is speaking from 1:15 to 1:30. Let's see here. I'm trying to see. Urban Meyer doesn't speak until 2:30. And on Friday's schedule is when I believe you will hear Jim Harbaugh of Michigan speak early in the morning from 9:15 to 9:30. But, you know,
Just coming in with some more breaking news. Bosa, this just came into my phone right now. Bosa, Jalen Marshall, and the others were suspended for marijuana and academics.
Right. I saw that as well.
Breaking news right there. And more breaking news. The Tigers are working to trade closer Joaquin Soria to following the David Price deal.
It's flowing in. My phone is blowing up right now. I'm seeing the same thing. And again, you know, Joaquin Soria, Rajay Davis, and believe it or not, Alex Avila. Those three names have also been thrown around about, in this whole trade deadline conversation. So we'll see where they go. Yoenis Cespedes, that's another name. So we'll see what happens. But at the end of the day, though, I do want to say this about the Detroit Tigers, Isaac. I feel like the overall perception of the Tigers clearly selling right before the trade deadline is notoriously negative. There's a lot of angry Detroit Tiger fans out there, and I get it. I mean, this team was built to win a World Series. When looking at this roster on paper, when looking at the big bats like Miguel Cabrera, Victor Martinez, JD Martinez, who has been fantastic this season, when you got the best shortstop in the game, arguably, and Jose Iglesias, when you look at the starting pitchers like, you know, previously now, David Price, Justin Verlander. I mean, you are supposed to compete for a World Series. And when you constantly fall below that expectation, there are going to be a lot of angry fans and you are going to be highly criticized. With the Tigers waving a white flag now and clearly selling this squad, I don't know if Brad Ausmus is here next year. I think Brad Ausmus is done as well. I just can't see, you know, there have been so many moments throughout this year where you just look at Brad after games and he just looks totally disengaged as a manager. You don't get the feeling that he has a firm hand on the steering wheel whatsoever. And, hey, he came into a tough situation off the bat because he's a young manager coming in and expecting to compete for a World Series. And if you don't do that, hey, the leash is very, very short here. So I think he's gone. But at the same time, I don't want Tiger fans to panic out there because this team still has, Isaac, I believe, a very solid foundation to build upon. Again, I just mentioned, you know, names like Victor Martinez, Miguel Cabrera, JD Martinez, Jose Iglesias, Justin Verlander. Hey, he had a heck of a game yesterday, his first win of the year. He's been pretty solid three of the last four outings for him. This team has a solid foundation to work with. Normally, when you see teams selling off before the deadline, those teams usually take about 2 to 3 years to rebuild. The Detroit Tigers can come right back at this thing next season, I do believe. So the situation for the Tigers is a bit odd because it's not like the normal storyline that you see surrounding a team that, hey, has waved that white flag and said, hey, this season's over for us. The Tigers still have a lot to work with, I think.
Exactly. Al, this is selling. There's a difference between selling and tanking, and the Tigers are selling right now. At the end of the day, the Tigers are not abandoning ship. You know, they're not bailing out water right now. They're just trying to say, they're taking a realistic approach. That's what they're doing. They're saying, listen, we're not going to win the World Series this year. Even if we kept everybody, there's a good chance we won't even make the playoffs. So why keep all those players and risk getting nothing in return? Losing Price, losing Cespedes for nothing. So right. It's a realistic approach. It's not an optimistic approach, but it's a realistic one. And that's what the Tigers should do. Because next year, like you mentioned, they've got a very solid foundation. They've got the best hitter in baseball. JD Martinez is continuing to elevate his game. And I think the Tigers will be back at full force next season, especially if Daniel Norris can develop into the player we think he will.
Yeah, certainly so. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet us at Al Martin WKR. Again, folks, Big Ten Media Days is also taking place in Chicago. Mark D'Antonio, he just left the podium to give sort of a season preview. I understand that Shalique Calhoun is also out there. I'm not sure the other two players that he has out there. I'm going to look that up right now. But, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I asked you, Isaac, what you were looking forward to. And, of course, you're pretty big on the Michigan hype train just to see what ensues around this team before the season starts. Personally, again, I do think that you got to temper those expectations. Jim Harbaugh, I think he's a fantastic coach. But at the same time, he's not a miracle worker. To expect this team to just, you know, have an unbelievable season, you know, 8-game win season this upcoming year, that's just going too far here. Looking at what how good this team has been the past 2 years, it's unfair for Jim Harbaugh to come in and just expect him to wave a magic wand and, hey, Michigan's a college football playoff contender. That's not going to happen here. But a lot of people have that expectation. I will say this, though. I think that Michigan will be better this season. As far as how much better, I don't know. I do think, I've always said this too, whenever Michigan State and Michigan, when that rivalry is rich and true, and both of them are competing against each other, and it's not just a lopsided, you know, it's lopsided on either side, it's healthier for college football here in Michigan. I mean, it gets people riled up because you know what, you know, you're going to expect the battle at the end of the day. So, hey, having Jim is great. And, you know, I'm curious to see, you know, who stirs the pot a bit out in Chicago. Also, I want to shout out Mike Griffith. Mike Griffith is a good friend of the show. He actually wrote an article on our current sports sit down with Darian Harris, who was on the show a few weeks ago. And, you know, Darian is fantastic. He's one of the best student athletes I've ever interviewed. And, you know, I kind of poked the bear a bit with Darian. And that was kind of the focal point of the article that Mike highlighted on MLive.com. And I asked Darian, if you remember in that chat, is there any added fervor when looking at the Michigan State and Michigan football game this year, knowing that Jim Harbaugh is now walking the sidelines for the Maize and Blue? And Darian, you know, to my surprise, he was very honest. He said, yeah. He came out and just said yes. Because knowing that there's a lot of hype around this squad, knowing that, you know, Jim Harbaugh has been on the cover of Sports Illustrated and he hasn't even coached a game yet for the Maize and Blue, there's a lot of hype surrounded around this squad. And, you know, they feel as though that you may be forgetting about Michigan State a little bit. And in many ways, that provides that chip on the shoulder that Michigan State Athletics thrives on. They like that, and they love proving people wrong. So it's going to be a highly anticipated game, and I'm certainly looking forward to it. I can't believe the college football season now is just, man, it's unbelievable. Just next month, you know, Michigan State on September 4th are going to be opening up the year against Western on the road. That's unbelievable. I can't believe it.
Oh, it's right around the corner. It's so exciting. But Darian, hats off to him because his honesty, really, I mean, we could see through this. Michigan State has a right to be offended. Look at the Nike new contract numbers. Michigan State got $34 million for their new endorsement deal. Hey, that's not bad. I'd take it. But Michigan, $169 million.
The
most
richest
lucrative deal in college football history. And Michigan didn't even make a bowl game last year. Meanwhile, Michigan State has finished in the top five the past 2 years, winning two major bowl games, and yet look who gets the money. And that's because of Harbaugh. That is. That's the Harbaugh effect. Harbaugh.
Exactly. It's the Harbaugh effect, and it's the fact that, of course, you know, Michigan is, you know, the most winningest college football program in the nation. That's just how the cookie crumbles. That is how the cookie crumbles. And I wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised, to be honest with you. I'm like, hey, you know, when I saw the deal, that's what you get with the branding of Michigan. So, folks, what do you think? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite current state's own Scott Pohl. That's right. He will be in the house to talk about a pretty touching story for a really cool cause that is taking place this weekend. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back. You are tuned into Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. Got to remind you all, if you happen to miss last night's Current Sports television sit-down with the head coach of the Hazlitt boys varsity soccer team, as well as the Okemos girls varsity soccer team, Darius Ward. Yes, he is the head coach of two teams in the realm of high school sports. He is a busy, busy man. If you missed that chat, again, folks, it comes on actually tonight. Excuse me, because tonight, I'm like in Friday mode right now. It comes on tonight at 10 o'clock on WKAR-TV. If you miss it, though, you can go to video.wkar.org. The reason why I'm in Friday mode right now, Isaac, is because it feels like a Friday to us because we're on vacation for a week, my man. Wow.
Ow, and I did something cool. Got to give a shout out to myself. Sorry to be selfish. But anyway, I did something cool with the buttons today, which is the music leading in and out of breaks.
Right, so, you did.
For every single button, I did revealed the location of where Al and I are going. If anybody can call in and tell me where we're going, I'll buy you a candy bar. I will. Come to Cass, I'll buy you a candy bar on me.
That's very generous of you, Isaac. You know, you are a very generous brother. But yeah, pretty two cool locations. I haven't been really anywhere this summer, so I'm excited, man, to get away for a week. But I'm pretty sure I'm always like this. Whenever I take time off, I'm always chomping at the bit to get back. And back to work, because when we get back, I mean, MSU football practice will be starting. We'll be going out to practices, talking to different players, talking to Coach D. We actually have a sit-down with Coach D. Looking forward to it. Certainly looking forward to it. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We've got a caller actually on line one. Mike, how you doing, brother? And welcome to Current Sports.
Thanks again, L. Martin. How you doing?
I'm fantastic.
I was just saying, who they traded for David Price? Who they get?
They are getting 3-for-1. So Daniel Norris, Matt Boyd, and Jario Laborte. The best out of those three prospects is Daniel Norris. He is really, you know, he's the guy when it comes to the Toronto farm system. He was actually a pitcher for the Lansing Lugnuts. He's fantastic, fantastic.
Okay, then I was going to tell you, I thought David Price was a pretty good for them. I wish they would have kept them because they don't have any left-handers.
Well, the thing is, you know, this is all business, Mike. When it comes down to it, David Price is what they were paying David Price. They didn't have any room to work with when it comes to bringing in new talent that this squad certainly needs, because there are a lot of holes that are limiting where the Detroit Tigers should be in that win column. So they had to give up somebody, and they know that David Price is going to garner a lot of attention, and they knew that if they dealt David Price, they would have, you know, some room to be flexible and to bring in new prospects.
Do you think they wish they would have had Maben and Grandison and Jackson they traded to Seattle? Do you think they would have rather had those back, those outfielders back?
Well, I don't know, because I don't think defense is the problem with this team, to be honest with you, Mike. I mean, the problem has been what it's been for the past 3 years now, that being the bullpen. That's really the glaring need for this team. And then we've seen the starting pitching, you know, just not be consistent. So now you get guys, you know, and Norris and Boyd, you can come in and help that part of the squad. But as far as, you know, guys like Granderson, I mean, I think that, hey, their defense has been pretty solid this year. It has been surprisingly one of the most consistent things and factors for this squad.
Jackson from Seattle and Maben in Atlanta and everything. I just want to know, the Tigers are always trading away their best prospects to try to go and see if they can get their team to go further in the playoffs. And I just wonder, sometimes some teams, you know, you can trade away your farm system just trying to get that one player. Do you think that's what happened with them?
I don't know if they were targeting one player here. They were targeting multiple players with this move, because, honestly, there wasn't that one player that really stood out that the Tigers could bank on to say, this guy is going to solve all of our problems at the end of the day. Hey, the next 2 months for the Tigers are not going to be great. They're not going to make the playoffs. Let's just put that out there. They're selling this team. They're waving the white flag on the season, and hopefully, you know, Norris, Boyd, and LeBert can come in and provide, you know, some sort of consistent play for this squad moving forward. But things are going to change, you know, with the wave of a wand here, Mike.
Do you think in the future? Do you think, like, the Minnesota Twins? Okay, the Minnesota Twins didn't come in with high expectations of being a playoff team, but they contending this year. Do you think that the Tigers can really retool their team and be like the Minnesota Twins or like the Kansas City Royals in a short time, or is it just going to take some time before they even get? Because even the White Sox, they almost up to 500. So what that say?
Right, and they're actually 2.5 games in back. The White Sox are 2.5 games in back of a wild card spot in the American League. But again, give the Tigers a year, Mike. That's what I say. Give them a year.
All right, man. Let me kind of say something off before I let you get to the college. You already look at the YouTube videos of Key and Peele?
Yes, I love that show. One of my favorite shows on Comedy Central.
I mean, you look at the one when they was trying to be the teachers, what the teachers act when they on SportsCenter, and when they was acting as announcers of the basketball
Teacher
game.
Center. Yes, Teacher Center was what they called it. It was one of the best skits I've ever seen the show do. And I think it highlighted, you know, it was a break from the norm, if you
it
will,
was.
Mike. I thought it was pretty cool.
It was, man. I thought I'd just get that out to you, man, and humor you down a little bit, man. But it's great to hear your voice again, man.
Hey, thanks
and
a lot, Mike.
I got time off of my other gig, so I'll be able to listen to you on the radio then.
Great, great. We love when you call, Mike. We appreciate you listening.
I appreciate it, man. You be good.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike. Again, folks, if you want to call in and voice anything that's on your sports noggin, you know the number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Well, let's shift gears really quick. He's just walked into our Curran Sports Studios. Of course, Curran State's own Scott Pohl has a very, very cool story for you all. And Scott, first off, before we dive into your story, Big Ten Media Days are happening this weekend out in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I love it because, again, as I stated, you always hear something here and there that may stir the pot up a little bit and cause a bit of controversy in the Big Ten world of college football.
Sure.
What are you looking forward to? And what do you think about what's going on out in Ann Arbor with Jim Harbaugh?
Well, I think that Jim Harbaugh will get the bulk of the headlines, at least in Michigan, maybe even in Ohio. It wouldn't be surprising to see him above the fold in the sports sections of the Toledo Blade and maybe even the Columbus Dispatch tomorrow, depending on what he says. It has been so fascinating as a Michigan State fan to watch how that has evolved in Ann Arbor and how much attention the guy has gotten before he even has stepped on a practice field, you know? So, yeah, I think that's what I'm going to be most interested in is, aside from all the Michigan State stuff, you know, because we follow Michigan State here, I think that we're not likely to hear stuff we haven't already heard before. That would be kind of surprising if Coach D'Antonio or any of the MSU players said anything we haven't already heard before.
Exactly.
But, you know, we don't really hear that. We don't hear everything out of Ann Arbor. It may seem like we do.
Yeah, I know, right?
But we don't hear everything out of Ann Arbor, and we don't hear everything out of Columbus. So especially with these suspensions at Ohio State, I think that's where most of the headlines are going to be.
Certainly so. And again, you know, for the most part, you do get the cliche answers from the coaches and players throughout the weekend. But everyone once in a while, you do hear something that kind of turns your head. All right, Scott, let's get to your story. Michigan State University student Andrew Singler was killed by his girlfriend's brother 2 years ago. An event this weekend will remember him in a way that he would have loved, a pickup hockey game. Current State's own Scott Pohl is here with more on the Andrew Singler Memorial Cup. What's going on here, Scott?
Well, Al, as you're about to hear, Andrew Singler was a big hockey fan, and the Andrew Singler Memorial Cup on Saturday in Ann Arbor will benefit a scholarship fund set up in his memory. The game is the brainchild of Justin Spiro. I need to say here that Justin is my daughter-in-law's brother. He did an internship with our news department a couple of years ago, too.
Interesting connection. Okay.
Now, this is different from your typical pickup hockey game, though, in that Justin's best friend will be playing in the game. That's NHL star Jack Johnson. So I asked Justin Spiro to tell me about his friend, Andrew Singler.
Andrew Singler was the best friend of a friend of mine, Brandon Green, when I was at Michigan State. And I had only hung out with him a couple of times, and he actually had helped me with a chore around my house, sort of blind, just kindness of his heart kind of thing. And really knew him as a great kid and had sort of planned on becoming better friends with him. We had planned sort of tentatively on attending a Red Wings game together. And obviously with the tragedy that took place, we never got that opportunity. But he made quite an impression on me. And when I saw the news of what happened, it struck me as someone this I had just hung out with recently. And, you know, you make these plans to, you know, spend time with this person you just met, and then it gets sort of taken from you. So it was very sad day for a lot of people and a surreal day for me in a bad way.
You mentioned that you had planned to go to a Red Wings game with him. What was the role of hockey in the connection that you had made with Andrew Singler?
Well, the first conversation we had was about the merits of Sergei Fedorov going into the Hall of Fame. And it was we were sitting on a couch, actually, in Brandon, our friend Brandon's apartment, and just talking about how Sergei Fedorov was disrespected in the Detroit fan base and how everyone put Yzerman so far ahead of him. So we had this maybe 30, 40-minute conversation on hockey, and that was really how I hit it off with him. So hockey was really important to him. He was probably the biggest Red Wings fan you can possibly imagine. So, that was sort of our instant connection, was just the subject of hockey in general.
And so did that lead you to this notion of a fundraiser for the scholarship fund that's been set up in his memory having something to do with hockey? Is that why you made that connection?
Well, it sort of came up organically because I used to do this hockey game with my friend Jack when we were in middle school just as a fun exhibition. We did it every summer just about for 8 or 9 years. And so the game itself was already in place, but there was no cause attached to it. And with the tragedy that hit the Singler family at Michigan State, it just became the sort of natural progression to, okay, let's turn this existing hockey game into a fundraiser for the charity fund that his family had set up.
Tell me about the scholarship fund that you're helping here. What are the parameters for that scholarship fund? Who benefits from it?
Well, the scholarship is technically controlled by Michigan State. They decide who gets it, but it was set up through the Singler family with Michigan State to benefit someone who could not afford to go to Michigan State otherwise. So ultimately, the decision falls with Michigan State on who is awarded the scholarship, but the goal is to send someone who would like to attend Michigan State, who can qualify to attend Michigan State, but could not go because they can't afford it. So that they seemed to think, and I would agree, you know, what better way to honor Andrew Singler than to send someone to Michigan State sort of in his name going forward, you know, years and years. I know they had already awarded their first scholarship, and they're set to award their second coming up this fall. So it was just the ultimate way to honor Andrew Singler in the Singler family's opinion, and I would certainly agree.
We're talking with Justin Spiro, the organizer of the Andrew Singler Memorial Cup coming up on August 1st. You mentioned your friend Jack, and we need to explain who that is. You are best friends with Jack Johnson of the Columbus Blue Jackets, who played his collegiate hockey at the University of Michigan. How did he get involved? Other than you asking him as a friend, what's his reason for being involved?
Well, you know, like I said, we had already had the game established as something we did from when we were kids, and it had sort of dissipated a little bit for a couple years just with the distance. It was becoming a little difficult for him to make the trek in for the game every summer. And
yeah, and he played for a time with the L.A. Kings, too. You talk about distance.
Yes, yeah, it was not the most convenient game for him to make for a couple years there. And when I had discovered, you know, that this fundraiser was, that this fund rather was started for Andrew Singler, it sort of reinvigorated the idea of, okay, let's get the game going again. As far as Jack's involvement, he was sort of with me the whole step of the way with what was going on with that case and the trial, and the Singler family was kind enough to welcome me into their family and group of friends throughout that process. And so, you know, Jack's my best friend. I would call him almost every day talking to him about the case and what was going on with it. And he really seemed to care and get involved. And he told me numerous times, you know, is there anything I can do? Just let me know. So I figured, you know, let's reinvigorate the game and get it going again. And, you know, no one really cares to play hockey with Justin Spiro, but, you know, Jack was kind enough to lend his name and level of celebrity to the cause. And, you know, once you sort of broadcast the opportunity to play with an NHL player and an Olympian and a former All-American at U of M, you know, suddenly the interest drives up and it becomes more of a viable event from a fundraising perspective.
Justin, tell me about how people get involved, what skill levels you're expecting of the people who want to play in the Andrew Singler Memorial Cup.
Skill levels are really all over the map. I mean, last year, in the first year of the fundraising hockey game, we had someone who was 64 with a hip replacement play, and we had a 10-year-old out there playing. And I know for this year, we already have an 8-year-old signed up and a 62-year-old signed up. So it's really all over the map. You know, it's anyone that wants to play can play. We consider it an open event, and it's a pretty loose exhibition.
Is it competitive in any meaningful physical type way?
The only hitting really that takes place is between Jack and I. We're always on opposing teams, and we sort of have scheduled scuffles throughout the game, but there's really little to no hitting in the game.
All right. Now, in terms of positions, goalies, forwards, defensemen, how does that get played out?
Well, we have four goalies that play exclusively goalie, so it'll be two aside, and they substitute because it's about a three-hour game with one interruption for the Zamboni coming through. So goalies can't really play that long. But other than that, there's no set defensemen or forwards. People, it's about as loose of an exhibition as you can imagine. You know, even with the line changes, it's completely done by the players themselves. They sort of take themselves on and off the ice as they desire.
Is this also something of a spectator event, Justin?
Yeah, we tend to have more spectators than we have players. You know, last year I think we had only about 25 people play and maybe 40 to 50 people attend. I know it's looking like 30-plus so far signed up to play this year, and I think our attendance is going to be pushing 100. It's fun for the people to watch, you know, their family and friends play. We also have a raffle with a lot of cool prizes that is run throughout the game, and people get pretty involved with that. So there's fun activities and what not to do, even if you're not participating in the game itself.
Does Jack Johnson interact with the other players and the spectators who come, sign autographs, pose for pictures, that sort of thing?
He could not be any more gracious with his time. He'll sign and take pictures for as long as people want him to. That's another reason why he's a great friend. You know, he's coming up from Dublin, Ohio, a suburb of Columbus, just for the event, driving all the way in and back. But he'll give as much time as people want or need for photos and autographs. He's really wonderful about that.
The Andrew Singler Memorial Cup is August 1st at the Ann Arbor Ice Cube. What time is the game, Justin?
Well, we're asking people if they're intending on playing to report around 6:15. We have the ice starting at 6:30. So typically, you know, if you're playing in a game, you need at least 15, 20 minutes to get ready. I mean, certainly you're welcome to get there as early as 6, but we'll hit the ice around 6:30. There'll be a warm-up. Everyone will get to loosen up the limbs a little bit, and we anticipate the puck dropping around 6:45.
Justin Spiro, thank you and good luck.
Thank you so much.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.
And I've got an addendum to the story. I just had to ask Jack Johnson why he's playing in the Andrew Singler Cup. After all, he's a National Hockey League star and Olympic silver medalist who played collegiately at Michigan, not Michigan State. So why help a scholarship at their rival MSU?
You know, obviously Michigan State is a great rivalry. You can't have one without the other, but, you know, this is a bigger issue than, you know, Michigan and Michigan State. When a friend asked me for help, you know, I always want to do everything I can to try and help them.
When you've done these things, have you had fun doing it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I get to see, you know, last year there's a few young kids that would come out and, you know, you see the look on their face and, you know, see how much fun they have just playing a pickup hockey game. You get a lot of gratification and that, you know, warm feeling inside knowing that hopefully you made a young kid's day and, you know, maybe inspired a kid to play hockey a little bit longer or, you know, hopefully made a couple more fans along the way. But, you know, I just know thinking back on it, you know, I was that young kid too, and it doesn't seem like it was that long ago, you know, when I was looking up to guys and, you know, chomping at the bit every chance I could get to try and skate or, you know, be alongside somebody that played in the NHL. And so I've never forgotten that.
Again, folks, the Andrew Singler Memorial Cup takes place this Saturday at the Ice Cube. What time again, Scott?
I think he said that they'll be taking the ice at about 6:30 for warm-ups and stuff, dropping the puck about 6:45, maybe.
Great story, Scott. Really appreciate
Thanks.
You bringing that to us.
Oh, big fun. Thanks.
Let's hit our second break. When we come back, folks, we'll put a bow on this edition of Current Sports by bringing you Throwback Thursday and a brief look at James Moore's swap youth football minicamp. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. All right, folks. Well, you know what? I actually took a trip out to Lansing Sexton High School over the weekend to, of course, attend the SWAP, the second annual SWAP Youth Football Minicamp. It's a football camp focused on teaching 7 to 14-year-olds the basic fundamental football drills and speed agility drills. Their goal is to impact the lives of the participants by sharing personal and professional stories of former college and professional athletes. Of course, James Moore is the CEO and president of SWAP. I got a chance to go out there to meet a few of the kids and to talk with a few of the members of the camp, as well as talk about an interesting tidbit on concussions in the world of youth sports. Here we go. 11-year-old Mason Woods is on the turf working on his route running as James Moore barks out words of encouragement.
Good. Nice. Hey, I like that, baby.
This is the second annual SWAP, or Speaking with a Purpose, youth football camp. For Moore, who is the founder of the camp, there's clear motivation as to why he puts on this yearly event.
I learned that, hey, we all gotta speak into these kids' life. We all have to, because that one word that you can say may change the make a difference in their life.
And for the kids of the camp, like Mason, what they are learning is invaluable.
Don't be too cocky around others and just try to work your hardest, do your best, and give it 110%.
Sure. For anyone who comes to this year's SWAP Youth Football Camp, they are going to hone their skills in the game of football. But hey, that's not the target area for James Moore. He wants these kids walking away from this field with more knowledge on the game of life.
Structure, order, and discipline is going to carry you for life. And that's what we want these kids to understand. You're always one play away from ending your career.
What's your favorite part about playing football, man?
Hitting.
You like to hit then, huh?
Yeah.
There's nothing like a big hit. But with what we are learning more about the game of football in relation to concussions, there are many parents that feel a bit weary. Brian, D.A., and Frank just so happen to be all fathers of daughters. I wanted to ask you guys, you know, with your, if you had a son, would you let them play football? But they all got daughters, so I don't know how I would ask that. If you guys have a son, or hopefully when you guys have a son, will you let them play the game of football?
It would be a conversation to have with my wife. And
I wouldn't ask another man to do something that I wouldn't do, and I wouldn't coach another person's child to play football if I wouldn't coach my own. So,
Right. Yes. It just depends on my son. I'm not letting my daughter play football, that's for sure.
No. Oh, that was great stuff. That was a good time out there this past weekend. And it's funny that Frank brings up, you know, not letting his daughter play football, especially looking at the news that we had to start this week. Jen Welter. Have you seen her videos, Isaac? I mean, she's out there playing against grown men in the Arena Football League. She actually played running back and was a member of special teams against grown men playing out there, getting tackled by grown men. That's crazy stuff. I would never let my daughter play football. And yeah, again, and if I, when I have a son, hopefully I have a son, I don't know if I let him play football. I'll have to have a serious conversation with what we're knowing about the detriments of concussions over time. What do you think, Isaac?
Al, I've thought about this long and hard. I don't think I'd let my kids play football just because at the end of the day, safety over fun. And there are so many great sports that don't require that level of concussion risk. I'm sticking with basketball.
All right. Well, there you have that. All right, folks, let's put a bow on this show by bringing you a segment that we do each and every Thursday entitled Throwback Thursday, where we look at what happened on this particular date in sports history.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long. Eisenman
back over his step. Into the spot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there.
All right, folks, it's time for Throwback Thursday, where we take a look at what happened on this particular date in sports. Today is June 30th. So on this day in 1930, Uruguay won soccer's first World Cup. They beat Argentina 4-2 in 1966. England's soccer team won the World Cup. In 1971, U.S. President Nixon gave the keynote speech at a banquet honoring seven new inductees into the Professional Football Hall of Fame. In 2001, two things happened. Former Dallas Cowboy receiver Michael Irvin entered an innocent plea for a felony charge of possession of less than a gram of cocaine. The charges stemmed from Irvin's arrest on August 9th, 2000. And also, Lance Armstrong became the first American to win three consecutive Tour de France's. Oh, boy. Well, there you have that. Well, Isaac, a minute left in the show. We're on vacation now for the next 6 days here on the show. Tomorrow, including all 5 days next week. Where are you going, my man?
Al, I'm going to Chicago, and oh, man, look at that time. I can't say. It's actually a secret. I'll let you guys know when I get back. What about you?
Well, I'm sure you may post some things on social media, I'm sure. But for me, I'm actually going out to Toronto, Canada, the home of Drizzy Drake, right? As the Carabana Festival will be taking place. It's like a pretty cool music festival with a lot of food and fun. So should be a good time, though, my man. Well, I want to give a special thanks to Scott Pohl of WKAR's Current State, as well as James Moore, members of the Swap U Football Camp. And, of course, all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have a fantastic weekend. And be easy, people.